used to control it. And this has hit us in South Africa at the time that we're swimming in a pool of poverty. And as many of us know, that poverty leads to malnutrition. Malnutrition leads to depression of the immune system. And when you get that problem, it's exactly the same thing that is caused by the HIV. So it makes our health system poorer because of the problems that go with the malnutrition and the decreased immunity. And the other diseases that are problematic, that have been problematic and are still problematic, and they are worse now, things like TB and the other infections that are. So we are thinking that your presence here is going to be helping us in making sure that though we don't have a cure for this disease, but we'll be able to contain it and change the attitudes of people, because it's mainly about attitudes about people. I'm hoping and I'm definite that by the end of the meeting, we won't be like ducks who would go into the water, but when they get out of the water, they're as dry as if they've never been in the water. So we get into this meeting, but when we get out, we'll be having some ideas as to how we can help each other in making sure that the scourge is going to come down. On that note, I think it's time for me to tell you who is here from the Portfolio Committee of Health. It's a multi-party democracy. We don't have to mention who belongs there, but this is the Portfolio Committee for Health. I'm going to ask members to introduce themselves one by one. Not that I don't know you, but I know everybody, but I want them to introduce themselves and they stand up so that you can see who is here. We'll start with you, Mamu Kenya.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, everybody. To our guests, we say hi. I'm Thandiwe Kenya. In the portfolio committee, I'm serving the portfolio committee of health. I am from the Eastern Cape. Thank you.
Good morning, excellencies and guests. My name is Mark Waters. I should say Dumala to the former president. I'm from the Gauteng province and I serve on the health committee.
Okay, good morning. Thank you. We are honored to have you here in South Africa. My name is Emma More. I serve in the Portfolio Committee for Health. I'm from the City of Gold, Gauteng. Thank you.
Good morning. Good morning, members. My name is Ibrahim Suleiman. I'm there from the Northern Cape and a member of this committee.
Excellencies and members, my name is Mapule Mapolo. I'm from Northwest Kiabu and Akitete Akikulumi Kiabu. Itumela kopane le lona. Kitle Kiabu Zwana Kiaelisa go bona president. So protocol kaengasa isang allow, but today I think my dream, I have achieved my dream. Thanks.
Morning. My name is Morwesi Segale Desai from the Platinum Province, Northwest. Kera Ayoba, Ola 2010 Hola.
Good morning. Welcome. My name is Sherilyn Dudley. I represent the African Democratic Party. I'm in the Health Portfolio Committee, plus higher and basic education and social development. Thank you.
I'm Hilda Mkweli, the member of the health portfolio. I'm from KZN, a very good place.
Good morning. I don't have the microphone, but I think I'm part of it.
My name is Dirasa Khaye Papi Khanare. I'm from the Free State.
My name is Albertina Dituli. I greet you all. I come from the province of KwaZulu-Natal and I'm a member of this health portfolio committee.
Thank you very much, members. There's something that she's forgotten to tell you, the last one. She's actually the daughter of Albert Lutz. Yeah, that's the daughter of Albert Lutz. confused in this call. I'm told that you can't hear me down there. Is that so? Oh, so I need to continue looking, be close to the mic. Okay. There's one member who's just come. The member who joined the committee because she's a patient. So she wants, she's standing for patients. Matube, can you introduce yourself?
Good morning, everybody. I'm sorry I'm a little bit late. It's because of transport. My name is Molebogeng Christina Dube, well known as Grace, member of this portfolio committee, all the way from Gauteng, representing people from Tshwane. Thank you.
Thank you, Matube. Your Excellencies, what you are going to be doing, we're going to allow you to tell us your delegation, and after that, we will be having a few discussions, and then after those discussions, then we close. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, sir. We call ourselves champions of an HIV-free generation. There are 10 of us not here today. But those of us who are here, it's me, former president of Botswana, President Chissano, former president of Mozambique, Ms. Nhavile from Tanzania. She's chairperson of the All Africa Broadcast Partnership Against HIV and AIDS. But the membership of the of our group includes Bishop Desmond Tutu, Justice Cameron of your Constitutional Court, former President Kaunda of Zambia, former President Kapa of Tanzania, former Vice President of Uganda, Dr. Kazibwe, a young lady, an Ethiopian model called Leila Kabede, who lives in New York, Dr. Were, who is also a professor, a medical doctor and a professor, a lady who is the chairperson of the Kenya National AIDS Council. Who else, whom I am forgetting? Wadira, that's Kazai, but that's the same person, Kazibu. Yeah, there are 10 of us, anyway. As the name implies, we are preoccupied, we are concerned, we are obsessed with prevention. Our mission, our feeling is that we as the continent, Sub-Saharan Africa, especially Southern Africa, as the continent or part of the continent most seriously affected by this epidemic, we urge our leaders to be involved, to speak with one voice, to have regional cooperation, share notes and best practices towards prevention. We think that, of course, there has to be treatment and care. That's very important. We advocate for that. But at this stage, for now, we are asking our authorities in the region to scale up their prevention methods. This includes various other things, such as male circumcision. There is now evidence that it helps. It is not a cure. It doesn't make you immune, but it reduces your chances of infection by up to 60%. That being the case, we are urging our leaders to be courageous, to persuade those of our communities like mine who don't circumcise. I come from a part of Botswana, and a particular tribe, we don't circumcise. But now there appears to be medical evidence, or medical evidence is accumulating, that male circumcision is helpful. Therefore, we advocate it. That's because we are concerned about prevention. Prevention is, should be priority number one, priority number two, as far as I'm concerned, and priority number three. And we are saying that it's not a question of individual countries. We all are. South Africa is seriously affected. Botswana is seriously affected. Lesotho, Mozambique, Zambia, Zimbabwe. We, the Southern Tip, are more seriously affected than the rest of the continent. And therefore we are saying that we, as the countries that is more seriously affected than anybody else, should be seen and be heard to be talking about this, the plight in which we find ourselves, exchanging notes on best practices, seeing what works and what doesn't work, and using evidence available to us to develop and to cooperate. Because, as you said, Mr. Chairman, our populations are very mobile across boundaries, within each country, but across the boundaries. So we would like to see a higher regional profile. We like to see all our leaders talking about this, encouraging. And we are here to do exactly that, to lobby you, to endorse the programs that you already have in place. We are very, very glad. We want to, for instance, to acknowledge and congratulate the President for the statement he made in October and the statement he made on International AIDS Day in December last year. We would like more of it from all of our leaders because we are all in the same boat. And we will do our humble little part. And you, as members of Parliament, we would like you to be engaged, to encourage our government. You are part of the leaders. All leaders, labor leaders, political leaders, the private sector, other civil society leaders, we should all be engaged. So that's really what we do in all our countries, and that's why we are here, to endorse what has been done here, to encourage you to continue to persevere and persist. I'm an economist by training. I'm aware, for instance, of the fact that treatment and care, what does it entail? It entails shifting resources away from other development projects and programs into curative services. When I was an economist, I was a civil servant before I became a politician. And our strategy, under my advice, was prevention. Primary health care rather than curative services. We wanted to build more and more clinics so that every Botswana could be within reach of a health facility rather than developing referral hospitals. Obviously, that worked to some extent. You can't do it forever. There came a time when political demands, people wanting to see big referral hospitals, we had to do that. Now, I am aware that that is the dilemma we are facing. Now, we have had this global meltdown, financial meltdown, which is not caused by us. And yet, we can say, well, because we have this global meltdown, we are facing huge unsustainable deficits, we will forget about treatment and care, or activities associated with HIV/AIDS until our economies improve. We don't have that choice. We have just to continue to allocate what resources we may afford for now. So that's really what we are all about. We want to encourage our leaders. We communicate with you, members of parliament, with civil society organizations. We cooperate with our counterparts here. There is, for instance, the gentleman who, the lady who gave her presentation, what her organization again? Soul City. Those are civil society organizations. Everywhere in the region, we collaborate with them, basically to urge prevention, including male circumcision, including, of course, I was talking about it, using every method, technique at our disposal in the region as a whole. We would like our leaders to show, we would like to see a higher regional profile. It is not a country problem, it's a regional problem which we should deal together and advise each other and share notes and share practices. So that's in short, well, maybe not so short. That's why who we are and why we are here. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Excellency. Maybe we can sit down.
Yes.
Thank you. I take it that it's going to be the time for us just to have some discussions as to how we see, and I think we all know the problem. But it's just to share notes. As I said, this has gone beyond the professionals in health, because it's something that has got no cure, but it remains with our attitudes. And the unfortunate part is that this type of virus, small as it is, is very brilliant. Number one, it stays in your cells, your normal cells. It stays there so that when you want to kill it, you start with your cell to kill before you get into the organism itself. Secondly, it's affecting us. The main area where you get infection is through sexual intercourse. There are other ways. And the unfortunate part about sexual intercourse is that that's where procreation is happening. So it's touching us where we're supposed to be more of us. I don't know how to say producing, but it's where we are supposed to get more people, and that's why it's affecting us. And that make some people have some other ideas about it, and we need to change those attitudes, and people must understand that if you want to survive and if you want our communities to be well, you need to change your attitudes, even if you had some beliefs before, but we've got to change. And that means people who are beyond the medical profession, and that's why we are here. And members, we have had that you are being lobbied. The southern part of Africa is the most affected. It's the sub-Saharan, but this area of ours in this region is the most affected, and we're being lobbied. Now, it's up to you to interrogate and say, I'm not going to say how do we do it, but let's just have a discussion. And we'll try and control it so that we don't get over time. Okay, I see Dr. Lutuli, I see Mem Khalid Desai. Okay, Mam Maltuli.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you for the President, yes, I think we're all agreeing here that we should lock ourselves with prevention of the pandemic, the serious pandemic that faces us, rather than move to the curative side. That's just a comment that I am making. But it is critical, you know, to dealing with this pandemic and getting successful in our dealing with it. Now, perhaps as far back as maybe 5 years or so ago, the MRC in South Africa did allude to circumcision playing, you know, as being of some importance, you know, in this area of prevention of HIV infection. I'm pleased that now, you know, it is being taken up. But, you know, because it is a matter of sex and young people who are sexually active, I will say this, people tend to look for an excuse, you know, not to use prevention. I mustn't be misunderstood there, but I gathered this when I was in private practice, that people, young people in particular, will look for an excuse not to use, for instance, the condom. Now, I'm coming to the point that do you think, how do we deal with a possible danger of being misunderstood with a circumcision, for instance? Because I imagine that there will be people, and a lot of people will say, okay, I'm circumcised now, and therefore I am actually safe, you know. I'm already sensing and hearing that there are people, in fact, there are young people who take it that way. So I'd just like comments on that one. Thank you.
I think we need to be cognizant of time. We've got time concerns. So if we could just be short so that we could get a response. Okay.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Really, we are so blessed today to be having this delegation, and we are happy because this is really a thought-provoking gesture, and I think it is a wake-up call. Sometimes you think that you are on top of issue until the next person comes and really shake you. I've been really shaken. But another thing which I think we have to focus on, Honorable President have talked about circumcision, but we have to look at the Western circumcision versus traditional, and it is time that these two people work together and teach each other what is this. I think because we won't say that there mustn't be traditional circumcision, but we should be helping each other. Another thing, I think it is time that we re-emphasize that moral renewal is a tool to fight HIV/AIDS, like it or not. We should go back to the root. We know our cultures. Every person knows our cultures and they help. Therefore, there are issues which we should be looking at. But we must be mindful that this year, it is a year of excitement from all over Africa, whereby people are coming to South Africa, and we know that sex workers is not only in South Africa, they are from all over. And I can tell you, they are there. We like it or not. And they got a new beautiful name. They are called Pleasure Executive now. Now, they are there, they will be coming, but we have to, everybody, go home and really work very hard. Thank you.
Thank you. As you know, Your Excellencies, we're going to be hosting 2010, and we've got a target of halving the infection by 2011. And now we are posing ourselves to make sure that people don't behave wrongly during the
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, Excellency, for your speech. I just want to say it's a fantastic initiative, what is happening, and you know we need more political leadership in the fight against HIV. You know, I think politicians are role models, and young people, whether we like it or not, look up to politicians, all of us, but more so ex-presidents and presidents of the country. My concern is, and I don't mean to make this a political issue at all, but my concern is that while, we've been calling for political leadership in South Africa in the fight against HIV for some time now, and you did mention that, you know, our president has started speaking of sending out the right messages, which is most welcome, particularly his AIDS Day, World AIDS Day message. My concern is, though, is that if all of us as leaders, political leaders, don't practice what we preach, it undermines the entire message and you know, it undermines the whole principle of practicing safe sex. I was just wondering what your thoughts were on that, about you know, political leaders practicing, you know, what they preach. Thank you very much.
If you were, as Zita said, that you are loving us, you must know that you have won. We are already, we are with you. Makenya.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation from our guests. I'm glad that the circumcision debate is continuing to reduce this pandemic disease, especially that I come from an area that has got this tradition based in Cape. I think also as you lobby us, I think we must all work together to destigmatize the disease through education and also to have intensive infection control measures, so that we are also helping also so that those who don't want to go educate, also those who don't want to disclose, because by disclosing we know that when they get the support, they can also minimize the stigma of this disease and also have courage not to be depressed. So I'm also very glad that you are lobbying us. Thank you for lobbying us. So that they also join the support groups, so as to support each other as those who are already infected and those affected. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike.
Okay, thank you very much for the opportunity. Okay. As most members of Parliament has already alluded that we need strong leadership politically and in all aspects. Issues of engagement as well are very, very important, because communication plays a major role in whatever that you do, from home, school, universities, even in Parliament. So we need to engage a lot and be committed to whatever we put as our the aim of whatever that we're trying to do. We need to ensure that at the end of the day, if we monitor and evaluate what we set ourselves as standards, we have at least, it's not always easy to reach 100% of what you would love to do, but at least 80% should be our benchmark in terms of activities and being able to do whatever we set up. Most importantly, I think we also need to have a sustainable financial status in terms of funding the HIV/AIDS prevention activities. And this also, not only activities in terms of prevention, but as well as people who are already infected, to say they should be on treatment, I mean, as long as they can. You know, God willingly, we cannot say they'll live forever, but we will be able to save them for some time. So funding, I think, is the most important factor here, and we really need to lobby for that as well, as much as we lobby for change behavior in our communities. Thank you.
Thank you very much. What will do, Honourable Dudley? We'll just give over to the excellences, and then we'll come back again.
Thank you very much for welcoming us to come and join your work. Because from your questions and from what the chairman said, you are on top of this problem. And you have said we are preaching to the converted, but it's never too much. There are certain elements to always take into consideration. My chairman has already praised the initiatives which were taken. And we regard that speech of President Zuma as one of the boldest taken by the leadership of this country. And we have to commend him on that. We have got the message. It's a strong message. I think that any other consideration should not bring down the importance of that message by itself. I'm a Catholic. I did not stop going to church just because the Cardinal of Zambia had gone his way the way he did, and the Pope did not throw him away. So I think that the essential is to grasp this strong message and to because this question of testing is very important. For me, it's very important. Because this is the testing which makes people believe that this is really a disease like other diseases. and that it merits attention, treatment, and further care to prevent infecting others and to live more, that it's possible to live longer. So this testing, which was you are going to start now, it's a very important thing. So we commend you for this, and this should be supported. Political considerations should not go to damage all this global effort. Now on circumcision, as one of the new discoveries in prevention beyond the condom, we have to take the whole message, not just to say come and be circumcised and you will be saved. Again, I'm a Christian. Say come and be baptized and then you'll go to heaven, and then you go and commit sins, and you will not go to heaven. So the same, we say circumcision is not the remedy to of all, but it helps. It helps. So you should continue to be careful. You should continue to use your condom when it's necessary, and you should continue to decrease your partners or to stick to one if you can. If you cannot, then you take all the measures. We have to continue this message even for those who have taken. It's like washing hands. You say, wash hands before eating. But you don't say, I have washed the hands once, and then you have to wash hands all the time. So, now, what this should be the Western or the traditional circumcision. I think we could build upon the traditional, because the traditional circumcision is just by instinct. People don't know why it is being done. So they give a lot of other interpretations. So we have to add to those in their interpretation this one, and to bring to the hospitals also the interpretation which they give in their communities, so that we have more people being circumcised, so we enhance our objectives. So I agree with you that we have to take all what is good, but the cultures, I would say, the world is in motion. There are many good things in our different cultures, which I support that we have to learn from our culture so that we take all what is positive. There are lots of things which are being despised because, these are absolute thinking, it's not good and so on. But when doing this, sometimes we throw out the water with the baby, the dirt water with the baby. So we have to be careful to be able to throw out the dirt water and keep what is good in our traditions, in our cultures. But recognizing that there are the things of the culture which may have to be changed because the world is no longer the same. We have earthquakes, we have tsunamis and things which we never knew before. So the world is not the same, so we have to change sometimes our cultural attitudes. And I think that I have tried to answer to you some of your questions. I would say one thing more of the importance of our exercise here, coming to see you in South Africa, particularly in South Africa. We have seen the Mozambicans, we have seen the Namibians, we are going to see the Swazis and the Sotus and so on. But in South Africa, we have a particular interest. Is that South Africa is a big country. Many of us look at it as a developed country. And so what happens here is repeated. Or in South Africa, they do like this. So it influences. If in South Africa they don't care, we why? Why in South Africa they don't demand us to do what you are demanding us to do? So what, you are better than South Africa? So South Africa is somehow a model in the region. So we'd like to see South Africa play a role of leadership, a stronger regional role, a coordinating role of the activity to combat HIV in the region, in the at least SADC region. As you correctly said, our activities for Africa, especially sub-Saharan Africa, but more especially for SADC, because it's the region which is the most affected, and South Africa is the most affected of all. And therefore, this role of coordination should come to South Africa. More than that, South Africa is well listened to by the international organizations. This is the only country or two countries now in the G20, within G20, but from Southern Africa is the only country. And so it should play a big role in order to ensure that the G20 may keep their promises. They may be taken to replenish the global fund, and so because sometimes this G20, in the past it was G8, they make beautiful declarations, but the money doesn't come, and if it comes, doesn't come on time, and it doesn't come in the amounts which are announced when they are needed. So a permanent work is necessary, and I think that this is the role of South Africa. And so they have to follow and they implement all what they promise us. So these are the few things which I would like to add to what has been said, Chairman.
Thank you very much, Your Excellency. We are left with no doubt that it was not a mistake that you were head of state. And even what you did to give over to the next person when the time came. And that gesture is a very important one. I'm not going to go into detail, but it shows us that you deserve where you were. And in fact, even what you're doing now, to forget about yourself but think about other people. We've got only 5 minutes left, and unfortunately they've got this appointment. I'm not sure whether we would take another round because they've got to leave. I they might not be able to respond. We've got to keep that. The problem is the time. What's that?
Sorry. Sure. Just to ask the debate around the pros and cons of whether HIV should be a notifiable disease, is this just being completely pushed aside, or is it still something that we need to consider? And the reason I say that was just looking recently again at how, you know, the terrible threat that it was in the United States at one time, and where it's now such a tiny little thing, but the whole thing around it being a notifiable disease seems to be really key there, and other countries have been the same, and I'm not sure that we've really explored that. Obviously we were all concerned about the stigma attached, but really I'm thinking there should be possibly ways that we could have both things, you know. So I just wondered if that debate is going on still.
Yes, ma'am, can you have the last one?
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to be lobbyist. I think I'm sure you have lobbied also the blood bank. And the blood banks. because I'm concerned, if you can, maybe you can get an answer. I'm concerned about the blood transfusion, because sometimes there are those people who are on window period, and then the blood is taken for transfusion to another person. Now, my question is that what happened if after 3 months that person, that blood of the person is tested positive in the second round when you go for blood, say, donor, for blood, for blood, maybe that the virus may be there for that 3 months. I don't know. That person.
Not come to you. I think we can handle that by saying that the new technology makes us to be able to pick it up even as early as few days that somebody is infected. But I wanted to say, you know, the way you have answered, Your Excellency, reminded some of us that we are in South Africa, and we've got, not that it's only him, but we've got a role model of somebody who stayed in jail for 28 years. But when he came out, he forgave everybody, whatever that happened. So I think then I can say that you're a Christian. I think one of the things in leadership is to be able to forgive. And forget, not that you forget what had happened, but to forgive and make sure that you move forward. We've got that. You know, the Western culture and the traditional, I'm coming from Eastern Cape. The problem there is that a lot of youngsters, because of coming back to our dignity, the young people feel that they must be circumcised the traditional way. The unfortunate part is that their fathers and the others before them, because of colonization, they were doing it the other way around. So they don't know the traditional way. And now a lot of sharks have come up looking for money. They are doing it, and they are doing it wrongly. And in fact, even those who are circumcised the traditional way are the ones who are prone, because when they do it, they don't actually remove the Langerhans cells. And now, though somebody is going to tell you that I've circumcised that one, but is actually there's nothing that has been done, because the Langerhans cells are still there, and that becomes a problem. So the last part is that you said South Africa, everybody is looking to South Africa, who are very happy. That's a very good statement. But let's hope, what makes somebody to go up in the ladder is to, even if you think that you have done something good, but you don't become arrogant. And I know the leadership of South Africa will always remain humble, despite the fact that everybody looks up to it to do things, but they'll always remain humble. And the humility is what makes us a better people in the long run. Thank you. I'm not sure whether you want to respond, but because of time, maybe would ask somebody to thank you so that you don't arrive late, unless you wanted to make some comments before we ask somebody from the members to thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to rush through a few. We had more, for instance, Mr. Habile has not spoken, but we do have time. We will speak elsewhere. I agree with Dr. Lituli. It is important that in advocating circumcision, we should warn that it does not make one totally immune. It helps. I agree that should be done. Secondly, regarding circumcision, especially in the Cape, I think there you could look at what Botswana and Kenya are doing. What we have done in Botswana was to negotiate with the traditional authorities to say, okay, you will have your school, all the what happens. But when it comes to the actual circumcision, we are going to send our doctors there. They are going to examine the people, they test the people to see whether they are positive or negative. The ones that are negative, they then circumcise them. And they supervise the healing process for a week. Then they withdraw. So the rest, they can do all the ceremonial parts and everything. But the circumcision has to be done by a medical doctor for that reason. Then, of course, the other one, of course, what we should be doing, all of us, is that we should be circumcising male children in hospital. in future they can still go to initiation school. But the circumcision element is a medical thing. It must be done by a doctor. Initially, of course, there will be some resistance. So we have to try persuasion. But of course, we strengthen our hand even as we come in. I wanted just to mention that. Regarding the behavior of politicians, well, we are human beings. We fail. I think he has answered adequately. What is important is that we know what the message is. Well, we've already spoken about the stronger regional role and a higher profile of South Africa and of the region. Should HIV be a notifiable disease? That's a continuing debate. We have no answer for that. Our feeling at present is that we fear, our considered opinion for the present as champion, is that it would tend to intensify stigma rather than reduce it. And so we are open-minded. We don't feel that any aspect should be taboo, but we feel that making it notifiable in this case, I think because of the history, because I know you might come back and say, oh, what about syphilis? What about this? What about this? And these are notifiable, and they are just, the causation is the same. But there has been this special attitude in the world regarding this disease that now making it notifiable, in our view, would tend to intensify rather than reduce stigma. That's our feeling. For instance, again, fortunately, in this country, you are open-minded about, for instance, sex workers and people like homosexuals. Elsewhere, it's different. We have had to go to Senegal because there were people were imprisoned there. We now have heard about the case in Malawi. We are engaged with that. We have written to Museveni because of a law that has been proposed there, because we feel that it would tend to make the situation worse. Well, if we had had time, Ms. Nabile was going to be talking about the importance of testing and testing together. That's one of the things we want our leaders and everybody to encourage. It's not going to happen overnight, but we should, over time, advocate it. I think those are the few clarification points I wanted to make. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. We are very sorry, Mem Havile. We're very sorry. If there was time, we'll do it. I'm going to ask you, Mr. Honorable Walters, to thank the excellences. That's a comment on the notifiable disease. Most of the time when we notify a disease, it's because you've got treatment for that disease. Then here, that's where the debate is, because you know that the treatment that is there doesn't cure the disease. So what should you do? That's why the debate is going on. Thank you. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Excellencies, for coming here this morning and sharing your wisdom with us. It really has been energizing to hear your views, and it's motivated us. I think I can speak for the entire committee renewing our efforts in the fight against HIV/AIDS in our country. The issues you've raised of circumcision is one we're going to have to debate in the committee, I'm sure, and it's going to be a vigorous one. But I must say you've opened our minds to that situation. Your efforts are also destigmatizing the whole issue of HIV/AIDS. I mean, you've just touched on some of the issues, Your Excellency, about what's happening in the rest of Africa, and this is of great concern, but the great work you're all doing can only help in destigmatizing the disease and opening people's minds to it. And the issue, obviously, of testing, we didn't really touch on, but it is vitally important. And I like the testing together, couples going to be tested together. So so they can support each other if need be, and they both know each other's status. I think that's absolutely fantastic. But I would just like to say once again thank you for coming here and spending some of your time with us. We know you've got a very busy schedule, and we will certainly be taking the good fight forward. Thank you.
We are hoping that we're not seeing you for the last time, especially when you notice that things are not going on right with the elected members. Don't hesitate in telling us that no, you're not going the right direction. So we're hoping that we'll meet again. Thank you very much. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, members. The meeting is over now. Thanks.